You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I know you hate Trump, but please pull back before we set in motion the destruction of the presidency by never-ending impeachments based on lack of due process and political retribution as the motive.
Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, Feb 9, 2021, he urging, prior to this beginning today, pull back. I know you hate Trump. I know you hate him, but can you consider stepping back from causing an additional divide across the country to try to really bring us together? No, they're not. They're moving forward now. They've been showing video already in the Senate, different pictures of Trump addressing a crowd, then the crowd rioting, or at least some of them, 800 or so, inside the Capitol, not even those outside, but inside, showing what kind of violence. And yet there's evidence mounting that the Capitol breach was already pre-planned. So it really just should stop the impeachment trial right there with the evidence coming out. But no, they want to push forward. Let me give you an example of the attitude of them. The lead House impeachment manager is Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland. He's going to conduct the first ever trial of a president who's no longer in office. Let me tell you what Raskin said in the early hours of January 7, as the House affirmed the Electoral College vote. Congressman Raskin said, "Let us stop pouring salt into the wounds of America for no reason at all. Let us start healing our beloved land and our wonderful people." That's what he said. But look what he's doing. He's pushing forward with this impeachment. Do you consider that pouring salt in the wounds of Americans for no reason at all? Do you see any healing in that? The day before New Year's Eve, or actually on New Year's Eve, he had a personal tragedy. His 25-year-old son, Tommy, committed suicide, a lengthy battle with depression, and you had numerous members of Congress on both sides of the aisle coming up offering condolences, and rightly so, to lose a son, a child, for whatever reason. But later in an interview with CNN, he appeared to link his trauma of his son, his loss, and make a political gambit out of it. I hate to say that, but that's what he did. Here's what he stated. "I'm not going to lose my son at the end of 2020 and lose my country and my republic in 2021. I found that absolutely appalling, kind of invoking his son's suicide into the midst of saying, now we move forward to impeach and punish Donald Trump and save our republic. I couldn't save my son, but we're going to save the republic." Shameless is one word that comes to mind, among many others, but also just aghast at, how dare you link your son's death into this political trial? But they're doing it anyway. They're rushing forward. The impeachment trial already underway. Oh, you should know this. The Democrats are now threatening to punish President Trump, former President Trump, if he doesn't testify. No, they say, "We want him to testify. We asked him to voluntarily testify, yet he has rejected it. We will establish his decision to avoid testifying." In other words, if he doesn't testify, then we're going to hold him guilty for sure. Do they not know about the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution? No person shall be compelled to testify against themselves. Oh, that part of the Constitution does not refer to Donald Trump, does it, in their opinion? Also coming up over the next 2 hours, the World Health Organization now saying, you know, China might not be to blame for this COVID thing. I mean, maybe it didn't happen there at all. You see how far we've come with covering up this story? Dean Chen of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us on what he says he thinks is going on between China, the World Health Organization, and, of course, Joe Biden. And then the story also of the CNN reporter in Tampa Bay who pretty much called the cops on Tampa Bay supporters not wearing their masks during the Super Bowl game. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why don't you kill Keystone Pipeline after you create the infrastructure jobs? That way, 11,000 people aren't out of work. I mean, the moral for me is political bases are very needy. He thought the highest priority, the reason he was elected president, was to kill a pipeline. Not COVID, not political rhetoric, but to kill a pipeline. Political bases are very needy groups.
Former Congressman Trey Gowdy, now a Fox analyst, on point. Joe Biden's first job was to kill jobs, not dealing with COVID. And as he said, he was basically following the directions of his base, the green base. Get rid of fossil fuels, fossil energy, go back to all green, shut down coal, shut down oil and gas, whatever you can do, and force us to go to a green economy. Oh, yeah, we're going to lose some jobs along the way. But as Joe said, hey, you get training in something else. You can become a computer technician or a computer programmer. Well, maybe some of them can. Or he said, oh, you can go build wind vanes for our green energy windmills we're going to put up. You can do that. Maybe. But Trey Gowdy raised the question I've stated from the very beginning as well. Before, I know this seems maybe not thought out right, but in my opinion, and I think in most of your opinions, before you take the guy's job, man or woman, before you kill the job, why don't you have the other one ready for them? Say, we're going to walk from this spot to that spot, and you're going to continue making exactly the same as you were. As you were making. No, they decided because Biden was beholden to his far radical left, one of the first things he did with an executive order was sit down and kill the Keystone XL pipeline, followed by shutting down oil and gas leases across the nation and off our shores. In Louisiana alone, just in Louisiana, there's some 200,000 jobs tied to oil and gas production, refining, exploration. They're basically gone with the stroke of a pen. And 11,000 plus jobs involving the Keystone Pipeline, XL Pipeline, gone. And yet there are rows and rows of pipe that's supposed to be put under the ground now on top of farm fields stretching along that path from Canada down to in South Dakota where he's going to join up. Just sitting there. It's already been paid for. It's already been bought. It's already been made, manufactured. And it's going to sit there in the fields because they wouldn't have anything else right now to use that pipe for, and more importantly, we're never going to if they had their way. And the employees, the workers that were getting some good money to work on that pipeline, suddenly you don't have a job. I again point to my analogy. We're going to build you a newer and better and more efficient and spacious house. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Step out of your current house. Okay. Now watch us burn it down, and we burn it down. And then the person says, well, where's my new house? Oh, we'll have that in about 30 years for you. Just wait here. That's exactly what they've done. You know, the question of that got raised in a White House briefing the other day by Peter Ducey of Fox News. The question to Psaki, Jen Psaki, who's now the White House, I should say flack, but supposed to be White House press secretary. I want you to hear this play out because as it does, you're going to clearly hear that they have no idea of what they're going to do. Now, this question from Ducey begins with the very principle that Trey Gowdy was suggesting. Why don't you provide a job before you kill a job? That just seems a natural order of things, does it not? Let's pick up the question from Peter Ducey, the response as it might be considered by Jen Psaki of the White House.
When is it that the Biden administration is going to let the thousands of fossil fuel industry workers, whether it's pipeline workers or construction workers, who are either out of work or will soon be out of work because of a Biden EO, when it is and where it is that they can go for their green job? And that is something the administration has promised. There is now a gap. So I'm just curious when that happens.
As the president has indicated when he gave his primetime address to talk about the American Rescue Plan, he talked about his plans to also put forward a jobs plan in the weeks or months following. And he has every plan to do exactly that.
But there are people living paycheck to paycheck. There are now people out of jobs once the Keystone Pipeline stopped construction. It's been 12 days since Gina McCarthy and John Kerry were here, and it's been 19 days since that EO. So what are these people who need money now? When do they get their green job?
Well, the president and many Democrats and Republicans in Congress believe that investment in infrastructure, building infrastructure that's in our national interests and that boosts the U.S. economy, creates good-paying union jobs here in America and advances our climate and clean energy goals are something that we can certainly work on doing together. And he has every plan to share more about his details of that plan in the weeks ahead.
Now, don't you feel better if you just lost your job? She's so bubbly. As the president has indicated when he gave his primetime address to talk about the American Rescue Plan, he talked about his plans to also put forward a jobs plan in the weeks or months following. In the weeks or months following. And then added, he has every plan to do exactly that. Does that help pay for groceries? Does that provide a job in the meantime for the weeks and months to come now that you've been shut down from your job with a pipeline or your oil and gas company, had to say, we're laying you off because we've been told we can't do any more? Does that provide anything? Keep in mind, Biden revoked the permit for that 1,700-mile stretch of pipeline on his first day in office. The very first thing was, let's move forward with green jobs. Just wipe out these jobs. But, as you heard her say, hey, the president indicated when he gave his primetime address to talk about the American Rescue Plan, he talked about his plans to also put forward a jobs plan in the weeks or months following. And of course, they've also talked about, you know, maybe you could go to work and build fans for some of these big windmills for us. Let me point something out to you. This is coming out of a report titled Clean Energy Wire, and talking about the Europe's largest trade union confederation, specifically referenced German jobs, and points out the number of jobs in the German renewables sector. That'd be production installation, falling from about 300,000 in 2011 to 150,000 in the last report. These jobs basically were building solar panels. The jobs got cut. The jobs got sent instead to another country that begins with a C, ends with an A. Can you fill in the other three letters, H-I-N? Oh, that would be China. China's not interested in green issues. China is the worst polluter in the nation. Double pollution of the U.S. They don't care about it, but they're making all these fan blades. Now in Germany also, they're losing jobs. Maybe, here's an idea. For those of you who are losing your jobs, maybe you could go to L.A. and apply to be one of the their positions. They call them the, let me see, the exact title is kind of vague because they don't really know what they do. But they are those who work for the L.A. Housing and Community Investment Department. Some 20,000 city employees work across the Housing and Community Investment Department in L.A., and they make more than $150,000 a year. The former director made $254,000. He made more money for being the Housing and Community Investment Director of L.A. than Ben Carson did when he was Housing and Urban Development Secretary for the Nation, a cabinet position. His cabinet position was paid $199,700. Well, four assistant general managers with the L.A. department get more than $200,000. And, of course, the City of Angels is having a big deficit, $675 million deficit. The homeless crisis gets bigger and bigger. And now they're cutting hundreds of jobs to curb the budget deficit. And where are they going? Right to the police department, for one. They cut 628 jobs from the L.A. Police Department. 628 jobs. So if you lose your job on the pipeline, maybe you can go get a job with the L.A. Housing and Community Investment Group. Or go, I guess you go to China and help build these fans. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist made it very clear that Biden made the first mistake when he put that pen to paper.
The pipeline should not have been killed. It was a wonderful thing that was helping provide energy independence for the country, which isn't just good for domestic jobs. It's also good for national security. And President Biden was pretty honest about a lot of what he wanted to do with the economy. He was not honest about what he was going to do in terms of getting rid of that pipeline and destroying so many jobs without a plan in place in any way for what those jobs could be.
But Molly Hemingway, they say it's coming. In the coming weeks and months, they will have the plan. Sucks to be a pipeline worker, doesn't it? Boy, it'd be great to be a green energy planner, right? Or to work for the L.A. Housing Department, making at least $150,000. Now, here's something you missed for all of you guys who work in the oil and field industry. And my dad did. I grew up as an oil field brat. Oil field trash, sometimes called, and I'm proud of it. But here's something those now in the oil and gas industry, maybe you should have tried to become a surgeon general. Biden's pick for surgeon general, Vivek Murthy, has been consulting Netflix, Airbnb, Carnival Cruise Line regarding the coronavirus pandemic. You know what he's gotten for that consulting job? It's estimated he's made more than $2 million, $2 million off pandemic consulting. And now Biden picks him to be Surgeon General. Do you smell a little money swap going on there? A little something for this, a little something for that? Do you think he's going to take a pay cut? Yeah, he is officially. And, of course, now we have the World Health Organization saying when it comes to COVID, maybe we shouldn't be blaming China. This shows you how deep the World Health Organization is in bed with China. I'll have details coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, the other day I had Gordon G. Chang on, an expert on China, and we were talking about the World Health Organization inspectors finally getting inside China and actually into the labs in Wuhan to find out if that's where the COVID virus originated. This was months after it broke out. They finally arrived in China mid-January, but they couldn't get to the labs until just recently. And there's no doubt whatever was in the labs was cleaned up. There's no doubt of that. But let me put it this way. Let's say you had a mess in your house. Big mess. And you don't really care because you can live in it. It's okay with you, you know. But then when you hear in-laws are coming, you're going to clean it up. And they're not going to get in until you get everything cleaned and picked up. Then again, you may not care. Come on in. Maybe they won't stay as long. But in this case, we want to know more about COVID. And the World Health Organization, now that it started investigating, you know what they're already doing? They're already downplaying the possibility that it came from Wuhan, China, from the lab. Yeah, they're saying that there's just nothing that says it actually did that. We can't find anything. Oh, surprise, surprise. You can't find anything. First cases discovered in Wuhan, December 2019, and just mid-January, less than a month ago, inspectors finally get in and they can't find anything. And the World Health Organization is suggesting, you know, it may have really come from these wet markets or eating these bats, a bat or something like that, or a bamboo rat that's a delicacy in China. In other words, giving more cover to China. Why would the World Health Organization do that? Well, here's one very key point, certainly now at this point, because when all this blew up, President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the World Health Organization, saying, we're not going to continue supporting it, we're not going to give them money, because you guys are not doing the job. You put this nation, our nation, in jeopardy by not giving us real facts and lying for China and hiding information. Well, now, who can give more money in place of the U.S.? China. So they need to make these arrangements, these connections. So now they're saying, you know, the coronavirus probably spread from an animal to humans. That's what they're suggesting. The Wuhan Institute of Virology has apparently collected extensive virus samples and originally leading to allegations it may have caused the original outbreak by leaking the virus into the community. China strongly rejecting that, promoting other theories that maybe it started somewhere else. Maybe it started in Pecos, Texas. I don't hear them saying that, but I thought, why not? If they're just going to pick a spot, let's go to Pecos, Texas. No, it started in China, and everybody knows that. And the World Health Organization is covering this up at this point. And they're more than glad to do so because they know that Joe Biden has already said he would re-engage with the World Health Organization. He's willing to step back in and join that UN body. He wants to make alliances and friendship. And the World Health Organization needs money. And they would want more U.S. money, which Joe Biden, while killing pipeline jobs, will find a way to sign over more money to the World Health Organization. The same one operating under the UN that's supposed to be looking out from all countries, and the world in general, but has already become a pawn of the Chinese government and carrying out not just their dirty work, but covering up whatever China has done that would expose them for being the source of COVID. And maybe it was not an accident at all. Maybe it's some of their bioweapon stuff they've been working on. We've already heard, and again, Gordon Chain I've had on previously, said China has the largest DNA database of Americans than anyone in the world. Maybe so they can target certain ethnic groups or certain criteria with weapons, bioweapons. Well, let me bring in another China expert, Dean Chen of the Heritage Institute. Let's run some of this by him and get his view on the World Health Organization and China.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back from the Heritage Foundation, Dean Chen, specializing detailed knowledge of China, specifically military and space capabilities, but he's also done some pieces reference COVID. Dean, first of all, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
You bet. When I noted that back in January, just last month, on the 14th, you were pointing out how the World Health Organization is trying to appease China, has been doing so, reference COVID. Let me have you explain that piece before we continue.
So basically, the WHO, a UN organization, is seen by many as above, you know, politics. These are health specialists who are simply going to talk about health issues. But the reality is that China certainly doesn't view them this way. And it has long recognized that international organizations, because they're seen this way, when they comment, can have a huge amount of influence. And with COVID, the Chinese absolutely went into overdrive to make sure that the WHO, beginning at the very start of this crisis, always presented China in the most favorable light. They also made sure that, for example, the WHO would ignore Taiwan, even though Taiwan gave warnings fairly early in the crisis. Hey, there's this weird disease we're seeing in China, to the point where a senior official at WHO literally walked off a set. It would be like me just hanging up on you because the questioner in the news program said, what about Taiwan? It's like, I'm not going to talk about them.
Just didn't want to get into it. And yet the evidence is there that they were complaining about it. And now we come to this latest event. And again, as you said, from December 19 when we first discovered cases or first cases were being reported in Wuhan and the supposed investigation began, and the World Health inspectors did not even get in to Wuhan until last month, and just over the last few days have actually been in the lab, and they can't find anything, Dean. It seems so clean. Everything's good and clean. There's nothing here. And are you suggesting it didn't originate here?
Well, to be fair, we have a lot of differing reports on where it began. Although pretty much everybody agrees it began somewhere in China, whether it began in that lab or whether it began with miners and bats in southern China years before this. What we do know, as you said, is the Chinese stiff-armed every attempt by WHO to go into China to meet with officials and, of course, meet with them quietly and not with Chinese government people standing there taking notes and serving as interpreters.
So when you look at the cozy relationship between the World Health Organization and China, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing on behalf of the UN and the World Organization itself. They are basically doing China's bidding step by step.
They're giving China a lovely PR job.
Yeah.
They are.
That's
telling
a nice
the
way
world
of putting it. Go ahead.
So, I mean, you know, you had WHO officials say, nobody's been more cooperative than China. And when you point out to them, you mean like when they won't let you in. They
right.
all just sort of go into mumble mode. you know, when they – one of the really interesting things isn't so much the lab as the wet market. Well, you know, apparently they visited the wet market, and we found that it could have been the problem was there. The problem is the Chinese themselves plowed that wet market under. I mean, literally, like, ran bulldozers over it. So whatever wet market is there now is not the same wet market that was said to be the starting point.
We do know that they have labs in Wuhan where they do research into various diseases, things of that nature. In fact, I believe some U.S.-supported labs are existing in there, right?
Yes.
So it is a hotbed for looking for what? Biochemical weapons? Or examining diseases? Or the purpose of finding what we can use in the future against someone?
So one of the really ironic things here is that our own government said, look, there's some really dangerous research that if it ever got out, it's important research, it's medical research, not weapons research, but if it ever got out, it could be catastrophic, and this is something called gain of function, where we basically manipulate the genetic material of viruses to see what could you do with this. So apparently, we, the U.S., said, you know, it's too dangerous to do here, but if the Chinese are willing to do it, we'll pay them to do it over there.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, of course, since the World Health Organization took its stance and its attitude, Trump withdrew from it, said we're not going to continue contributing to it. And now Biden's in office, and now the World Health Organization wants to cozy up to Biden, knowing that he will rejoin, and they need the additional money. And in the meantime, while we were not there, I'm sure China was helping supplant some more. So they come up with a story that we just don't know the origin.
And this raises the question why it is we are rejoining the WHO and reopening our checkbooks. If you had a doctor who did this, you'd be suing them for malpractice, not saying, hey, let me give you some more business, Doc.
Right. Absolutely. Let me move on to the military front for a moment. You have pointed out that China already has a military goal to be transformed dramatically by 2027. What are they in the process of doing?
So there is a portion of the Chinese military that is still mostly driven in trucks and using towed artillery pieces, very 1950s style. That portion is supposed to be made into mechanized forces, armored personnel carriers, you know, self-propelled guns. The portion of the military that's already there is meanwhile supposed to become, and we're seeing a lot of this in their own military parades, outfitted with everything from electronic warfare and battlefield radars to UAVs, to in the Navy, you know, underwater drones, really cutting edge military capabilities comparable to our own.
And where did they get that information?
Some of it is stolen, but a lot of it, and this is very important, a lot of it is developed on their own. In areas like artificial intelligence and quantum computing, our own government has come to the conclusion that sometimes we're behind.
I don't like to hear that, especially when we're dealing with China. You also say the Air Force is going to be updated or improved dramatically for China.
The Chinese are one of the only countries out there building a modern strategic bomber, currently designated the H-20. This thing is going to be a long-range bomber outfitted with air-launched cruise missiles that can fly deep into the middle of the Pacific, and with really long-range cruise missiles, think B-52s and ALCOMs, would be able to strike the continental United States.
All right. Well, you're making me feel really much – I'm feeling a lot better and safer now. I'm sure we'll all sleep a little bit better as you discuss that. But the other thing being outer space, they're also active ramping up for outer space.
In fact, in about the next day or so, China is going to land its first lander and rover on Mars. The Red Chinese are visiting the Red Planet. that is huge because only a handful of countries have ever successfully landed on the moon. A lot of people have tried, and actually Mars is littered with dead spacecraft that were shot down. In terms of successful landings, it's mostly been us and the Russians, and now if the Chinese pull this off tomorrow, they will join a very elite club.
You're listening to Dean Chen of the Heritage Foundation, just telling you to be watching for how China is going to be trying to land on Mars over the next few days. North Korea hackers, there's news coming out from U.S. security experts that North Korean hackers apparently got about $316 million hacked into it to get money to help improve their nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. So We've got this going on so many different fronts. And how big of a threat would you put North Korea in the midst of all this?
North Korea is a lot like Spectre from the James Bond novels. here's a country that literally has maybe 1,000 websites total. I mean, in the entire country, but their hackers are their elite. And they are one of the few people to do the ultimate no-no, which is to destroy data. We believe they're the people who went into Sony and actually deleted data. Most of the stuff you read about, people steal data, but they leave the original stuff behind. The other interesting thing is, the reason why I compare them to Spectre is, North Korea robs banks through cyber. At one point, they hit a U.S. Federal Reserve Bank and looted the Bangladesh accounts. Gives you an idea of how desperate you must be, because Bangladesh just isn't that rich.
And is poor now, that's for sure.
Yep. But they go around the world doing ransomware, hacking of companies and governments, literally stealing things. But this shouldn't surprise us. Their ambassadors have been arrested in countries selling meth.
In the last 30 seconds, your belief on how the Biden and China relationship would develop. 30 seconds.
Well, I sure hope that he is harder line than what we've seen so far. I mean, telling Confucius Institutes that they're welcome to open shop in the United States is not a good sign.
Dean, I want to thank you very much for your time. We'll have to get back to you. I'd like to talk more about those institutes in the future as well, sir.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Dean Chen with Heritage Foundation, expert on China and weapons. And as he said, China's going to try to land on Mars. Now, CNN calling out faceless mask people.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Randy, you're enjoying all this excitement there in person. What are you seeing and hearing ahead of tonight's big game?
Well, Anna, we're trying to enjoy it safely. We are at the Poorhouse in Tampa, which is a very lively bar and restaurant, which is why I am double masked. But if you take a look here at the scene behind me, you can see that a lot of people are here. They're gathered. They're already cheering for their favorite team. They're outside, so it's considered to be safer. And they are allowed to be here. They're only supposed to take their masks off while they're eating or drinking. But you can see quite a large crowd. Certainly not all in one single family or one single household that are mixing. But that is allowed here in the city of Tampa right now.
That's a report the other day from CNN reporter Randy Kaye. And, of course, it was the Super Bowl weekend in Tampa. And the video clearly showed a lot of people walking around without a mask on, but she said they're allowed to do that. They're outside. But they're certainly not keeping social distancing. They're not probably just with their family members. And as you heard her say, and that's why I'm wearing a double mask. I'm surprised she didn't say, I'm not doing the job. It's too dangerous. I'm just not going to go there. You're like asking me to walk in front of a firing squad. I'm not going to go in there and do that. But she did. And then she decided, you know, I'm looking at these people and now they are obeying or not obeying rules and regs. She called them out on it. I'll come back to that point in a moment. But keep in mind, so many of these restrictions we've been seeing and how they keep escalating and changing. You want me to give you an idea of what could be coming? I have the story right here in front of me. This is, first of all, travelers arriving in the United Kingdom could face up to 10 years in prison if they lied about their travel history. Could face 10 years in prison and pay hefty fines if they breach their quarantine rules. So if they go into some of the hotspot countries and don't report it, they're going to put that offense on the level of you came in with a firearm with intent to make threats to kill and poison people. That's in the United Kingdom. And they're apparently going to go along with it. They're going to flat say that if you go somewhere and you don't report it or you kind of lie that you were there and we find out, we will treat you like a felon. My advice to them, just go south of our border and walk across the border. You'll be able to stay here. Nobody will be even bothering to check you. But there's another step. There's another step on the way. And again, this is happening in the UK. The British government's scientific advisory group for emergencies, known as SAGE, I guess that's supposed to stand for smart, is now suggesting, and I tell you this because I would not doubt that it could be coming soon, start using GPS tracking to watch travelers after they arrive in the United Kingdom. And I'm waiting for someone to start saying we're going to start following the GPS on everyone's cell phone to see where you are. If you got the vaccination or you're not getting one, they're going to follow you and track you. Do you think it will get that far? Are you willing to go to the extra restrictions that you might see coming when they've already made all these mandates that have no bearing and basis of fact? None. None. And Dr. Fauci is now saying, well, we'll be able to not have the mask when there is no longer a threat from COVID. Well, when is that going to be? I mean, we're always going to probably have a threat from COVID or the flu or some other thing like that coming up. But speaking of mask, again, this CNN reporter giving her report from that one position said, I was also at another position. Now, I want you to listen to this because while she doesn't say it, and you can look at it, well, she's just being a good investigative reporter, Larry. She went to ask what's being done about it if there's a violation. You could look at it like that, or you could look at it, she's snitching on people without a mask as she goes to the cops. And it's not a matter that they're holding a gun on someone, but they're walking around without a mask. Now, listen to this report again from CNN, Randy Kaye.
Let me show you a scene from last night in an area called Ybor City. We have some video to show you. You can see on the streets of Ybor City this massive crowd. Again, not many of them wearing a mask. This is a very popular spot where people go to bars and restaurants. There were some police there, but we're unsure about citations. I spoke to the Tampa police and I asked them, what are you doing about this? Because a lot of people were very concerned. Apparently the dance floors were full and that's right now not allowed during the pandemic.
So she went to the police and asked, what are you doing? Basically suggesting they need to go in there and start making arrests, give citations. If you're in that crowd and you're feeling unsafe, what's your first thing you're going to do? You're going to leave, right? Same thing if someone opened up with a pistol or you hear balloons going off. You don't know if it's gunfire or not. You may decide this is getting out of control. I'm going to leave. Or you may just decide, I don't want to stay here any longer. But CNN decided we will help be the mass police. We're going to take a break. When we come back, do not miss the second hour. We're going to look at a couple things. One, the impeachment trial for President Trump is underway. You don't want to miss it. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.